Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we're going to continue here. We've got all the way to, We've got all the way to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. And of course, the Elohim there, the 430 in the Hebrew, the proper translation for Elohim in English is the word God. And I believe the King James translators got it right there, regardless of what a lot of people say. Some people say G-D. It's, I think there's a lot of confusion there, but let everyone do what their conviction is. So, but he says, be hasty to utter anything. Be not hasty. Let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before the Almighty, before God. For God is in heaven, and thou art upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Yes, you know, as I grow older and more steady in my walk and more obedient to the Heavenly Father, I find that my words are fewer and fewer. A lot less nonsense comes out of my mouth. And sometimes I think I might mistake that for a lack of prayer. But I don't think that the Almighty is impressed by many words. No, he might be impressed by fewer right words. And so perhaps I've got something here that I can stand upon with fewer words that are right. Because I've prayed a lot of nonsense, and I've asked for a lot of foolish things from the Almighty in my life, as I recall, especially in my youth. Being taught things that, it is important to ask, because even the Messiah says, you have not because you ask not. And so there's a lesson there, and there is a lesson to be learned, because there is a certain amount of humility in asking, but then some people get quite over their humility, and they start asking amiss, as the other side of the spectrum is. Is they ask amiss that they might consume it on their flesh. So we have to find a happy medium there and temper our words in our prayer. Be not rash with thy mouth. And, you know, even, you know, going through the oppression and the persecution that I go through, and I have enemies out there, and I'll tell you what I feel. I'm not going to tell you what I feel. But just saying that, you could imagine how I feel and what my feelings would have me do, or if I had no constraint upon me, what I would pray for these people, and it wouldn't all be very nice. But vengeance is mine, saith the Almighty, and so I have to rest in that vengeance. It says, and then at the same time, you know, I can't. I'm supposed to pray for my enemies. Imagine that. Messiah said, pray for your enemies. And so I pray for them. I don't feel it. You know, what I feel is something different. But what I do is obedience. So feelings lie, and it's a good thing to feel. If I didn't feel those things, then there would be something wrong with me, obviously. So I feel those things, but I can't act on them. They can act on them because they, you know, they're not learning obedience. Obedience is not their object. Their object is to win, destroy, kill, steal, and destroy. It's the object of them is the object of their master, and that is to kill, steal, destroy. That becomes obvious. So we have to be not rash with our mouth in what we ask for, whether it be good or whether it be especially be evil for our enemy. It's difficult. There's a temptation there. So we have to recognize that temptation when we weigh it in the good counsel of the Messiah who said, love your enemies. And I saw him, how he dealt with his enemies. And he wasn't, he said some things that were, pretty harsh to his enemies. He said, your father is of the devil. And he said to Peter, he said, get thee hence, Satan. And he said a lot of things that weren't very comfortable. You know, how could he say those things? Yes. And never sin. Now, there's the key. So, be not rash with thy mouth, especially, he says, let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before the Almighty, for God is in heaven, and thou art upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. So let your words be as few as possible to say what you have to say, and perhaps consider them first. And that's a funny thing. You know, you're considering what you're going to say to the Almighty, and he hears you considering it. Because is there anything he doesn't hear? For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. So, but when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou should not vow at all than thou should make a vow and not pay it. And those are good words to live by. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? And how do you do that? See, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. And that's the old English. It means don't allow your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. And it's a wonder out there under the sun that people that never sin, never do certain sins, that they with their mouth make themselves guilty of those things. It's like, there's perhaps 1-2% of the population, just to draw an illustration here, that are sodomites and practice sodomy, that abomination, which the word of the Almighty says deserves the death penalty. Now, I don't advocate killing anybody, because it's not the place of the church to execute judgment. No way that we can talk about, we've talked about the changes as we went through Ezekiel. How the whole priest-temple sacrifice system changed from the priest-temple sacrifice system to include the king. When the children of Israel and the temple was restored, the king now became part of the temple service, and the sword of judgment by that demonstration was taken out of the hand of the nation. Yeah, Israel, God's nation on earth. No more was the sword of judgment in the king's hand, but the healing, the scepter of healing was replaced the sword of judgment. And you can find that there in Ezekiel, where Ezekiel gives instructions for the priest temple and king sacrifice service in the temple. Now the king had a part. And of course that was a looking forward to the Messiah, that change in the whole government of the holy nation. And that also demonstrates that there is, that his nation on earth, his holy nation, is not here to execute judgment any longer. The scepter of judgment or the sword of judgment has been removed from his called out nation, and it has been replaced with the scepter of righteousness, and it's been turned into a voluntary kingdom. So the king has a different place right now. But he will, when he comes back, he will execute judgment. The sword is already in his mouth, and it is the word of God. So if you want to know, and he will exercise everything that is written in the word of God, all the judgments that are written there, he will exercise. And that's what the picture of, there's a two-edged sword that comes out of his mouth. It's the word of God. And that's what that picture means, that illustration, that he will come back and he will execute judgment. But right now, his nation on earth that we're talking about, that holy nation, is not here to execute judgment. We're here to exercise, we're here to demonstrate the voluntary nature that our Heavenly Father is looking for, people that will voluntarily enter into His kingdom and voluntarily seek to learn obedience and be lawful citizens of His kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. So how can you do that? How can your mouth cause you to sin? You could go and you could take up a cause for the sodomites, but never commit sodomy in your life and be guilty of sodomy. You could take up the cause of the abortionist, but never have had anything to do with an abortion in your life. But because you've taken up the cause, you bring that sin upon yourself. Or you could watch a movie on the TV or one of these stupid sitcoms, and you could watch the adultery happen, and you could take the side of the adulterer and be guilty of adultery. There's a lot of ways to sin without even doing the act now, because the Messiah raised the standard. That's right. See, before, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were just trying to keep the letter of the law. He said, you have heard, it has been said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you lust after a woman, and we'll define lust here for you, lust is is an unlawful desire. It is a desire to do that which is against the commandments of the Almighty, that which He has forbidden to you personally or to mankind through His law. And that's what lust is, to lust over that which, to desire that which is forbidden by His commandment. That's what lust is. So if you look on a woman, your neighbor's wife, or even a virgin that has been refused to you, because by the virgin's father, by the young woman's father, and you know it, but you go after it anyway, then you are lusting. Lust after your neighbor's wife, even if he's put her away unlawfully, or if a woman has left her husband unlawfully. I don't care if she's divorced in the world. You're still living in adultery because she is unlawful. You need to be very careful out there, men, because, you know, the churches teach that God's law doesn't, that it was nailed to the cross. So what is there to repent of if the law of the Almighty was nailed to the cross? There is no repentance. There's no sin anymore if the law was nailed to the cross. You know, and you get to go to heaven when you die. Don't worry about that. You know, that's that other gospel. They lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't allow you to enter because they don't teach you that you need to learn obedience to His law to walk in His kingdom. That's what walking in His kingdom is. It's learning obedience. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. And here he draws the illustration. Don't make a promise that you're not going to keep. It's better to not make a promise at all. I've lived by those words. Oh, before I utter a promise, I think in my heart that I'm going to do this or that, but I don't let it come out of my lips. Because it's better that, yes, I have the good intention in my heart, but I don't make the promise to my children or to the Almighty or to whoever, and then I'm not able to fulfill it. It would be better to go ahead with that good intention and fulfill it and actually do it without having made the promise. But fools, they allow every thought and every good intention that wells up inside them to proceed and roll off of their lips. And they live their life making vows and promises and fulfilling very few, if any, of them. So, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Oh, I'm sorry, it was an error. It just came out of my mouth. I had a good thought and it. You know, but see, what that is pride. You want people to think good of you. So when you have a good thought, you roll it out of your mouth as a promise because you want people to think good of you. See, that's vanity and vexation of spirit, because it will turn around and come back on you. And you're going to be saying to the angel, oh, it was an error. It was an error. Wherefore God should be angry at thy voice. So, you know, you're not, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the messenger, the angel, that it was an error. Why should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? Because of the foolishness. because you couldn't keep your mouth shut. Think good thoughts, yes, but keep your mouth shut. Do good deeds, yes, and then you'll have the reward that you were seeking before you did the good deed when it was only a thought. Wait for it. Be patient. Learn to keep your mouth shut. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities. But fear thou God. Fear God. Keep your mouth shut. I'll sum up those two verses there. Fear God and keep your mouth shut. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be a higher than they. Yes, people do marvel. They see the oppression of the poor and they go, where is God? I should do something about that and jump in. I've seen it, you know, and it felt like I should do something, but something stayed me, or perhaps someone stayed me who was a little wiser at the time. I do remember an instance. I would have just been trampled. And things are not always what they seem. Sometimes what looks like oppression is actually the execution of judgment by those that are serving his purpose through obedience or whatever. Everything that happens serves the purpose of the Almighty. And we all choose to serve him one way or another. We either serve him through obedience. That's the good way. You get the treasure in heaven that way. You get the resurrection of life that way. Or you can serve his purpose. Because everything serves his purpose. The oppressor of me is serving God's purpose by trying me and proving me through the flame. And purifying me through the fire. They're serving a purpose. It destroys them, but it purifies me. I see this. And that's why my heart, you know, even though I feel like I wish they were not there, or I wish they were, I'll say it, I wish they were dead, then I have to turn around and I have to pray for my enemy and say, please, Father, please bring them to repentance. Save their souls from the pit of hell, that they might repent. To become part of your holy nation and live forever and rejoice. And I could rejoice at that. Yes, I could rejoice at that. The oppression. When you see the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest, you know, and that goes to let every soul be subject to the higher power. And some aren't, but they serve his purpose regardless. Those that are oppressing me and persecuting me, they're disobedient to him, but they're serving his purpose. Because he that is higher than the highest regardeth, he is that is the highest power of all the powers in the earth, and whatever power they may have, that they're trying to exercise in their oppression, they're answerable to him and they serve his purpose. Go to Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that love the Almighty and are called according to his purpose. And for those that don't love him, that are only serving his purpose rather than serving him through obedience, things are not going to work out for their good, unfortunately, for them. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Pray that thing. You know, I pray when I read that scripture, like, all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, read it there in the Romans 8:28 in the Authorized King James Version. To those that are called according to his purpose. You know, I want to serve him through obedience. I love him. That's why I want to keep his law. I want his law written upon my mind and my heart that I might not sin against him. I want to learn obedience so that my life will be pleasing to him, that I'll only do the things that are pleasing to him. I love him. All things work together for my good. I can personalize that. But if you don't love him, or you're fooled because you have an image of God that isn't true, and you only love your own image of God, because you get to control that God. You know, those that believe that well, God understands why I can't keep his commandments. I need to eat pork, you know? God understands why I don't have to keep his commandments. Yeah, he understands. You're obstinate. You're disobedient. And you care more about satisfying your flesh and your appetite than being obedient to him. So you're going to suffer the consequences of that. Or perhaps you're just deceived. That judgment is for him to make. Chapter 5 and verse 9. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. Yeah, you ever notice that? People get fat. Speaking of increased. Yes, who said that the Almighty didn't have a sense of humor? There you go. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. And yes, that is true. You have trouble sleeping? Work harder, you know? That's something I don't have any trouble with. I've been there in my life, though, where there were times in my life where I had nothing to do. Just, you know, was no job and no work, or I didn't know how to work, or whatever the circumstances were. And there was a lot of idleness, and I couldn't sleep. So I'd take a little wine at the end of the day just so I could sleep. I think there was a little wisdom in that, because perhaps, you know, even a good man who know how to work and want to work find themselves in a position sometimes where they can't work. So take a little wine at the end of the day to help you sleep. But the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Oh, hallelujah. I love that sweet sleep. And I do sleep sweetly because I labor, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. I'd rather be rich with the riches of the Almighty and the riches that come with serving him, because the sleep doesn't escape then. If you have trouble sleeping, there's too much idleness in your life. Find work to do. There's plenty to do. You can. You know, no matter what your circumstance, you can store up treasures in heaven. You can labor that way. Well, you've been listening to Cross the Border, and visit my website. It's crosstheborder.org. And like I said, I would like to hear from you. Crosstheborder.org. We'll be back in a while, so stay tuned or come back for the next session.